This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is circulated among the Jews to this present day. The Gospel of the Lord. Today on this beautiful Easter Monday, we see different responses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's important for us to see what those responses mean for our response, Easter 2014. Let's begin with the response of the chief priests and the elders of the people. They had asked for the guard outside Jesus' tomb because they were afraid that somehow the story of Jesus' resurrection would spread, because Jesus had promised it. And if it seemed to be fulfilled, that would be the worst thing that could happen. So they got these Roman soldiers who knew how to keep a night vigil. They didn't sleep on the job. And they witnessed the huge burst of light. They witnessed the angels. They witnessed the stone rolling away. They, in a sense, witnessed Jesus leaving that tomb. So they went and told people about it. Now these chief priests and the elders, first, they had treacherously gotten Jesus to be betrayed. Then they got false witnesses to testify him, so that in a Jewish law he might be put to death. And then slanderously they went before Pontius Pilate to make up all of these stories as if Jesus really wanted Caesar's power. And then they whipped up the mob to claim for a murderer rather than for Jesus. And it still wasn't enough. Even after these very down-to-earth soldiers came to tell them exactly what had happened at that tomb, they still weren't going to accept that what Jesus had said was true. As if these pagan Roman soldiers would make up everything that they had observed. And so, because those who are addicted to lying, those who want to live falsely, who don't want to come to the light of the truth, they'll never do it. They just made up an absolutely idiotic thing to tell these Roman soldiers to lie, that while they were asleep, Jesus' disciples came and stole his body, left all the garments there during a Sabbath day when nobody's supposed to be doing any work, and carrying a dead, naked body through the streets clearly qualified as work, and anybody who would have seen them would have witnessed what they were doing. And again, if people are asleep, how can they tell if Martians came and stole the body? And yet, that was the lie. And when people are prepared to live lies, lies will be enough. We We know that through some of our politicians. Oh no, we're not going to charge you for abortions that other people are going to have. We would never do that. No. This is just about tolerance. How's my gay marriage going to affect you? Except, of course, if you make wedding cakes, or you have banquet facilities, or you are a photographer, or anything else, that's when they're going to sue you unless you not only tolerate but accept something that we know by our faith is wrong. We can make up all of this. When people are living a lie, they're going to constantly just accept the lie and promote it as the truth. That's what the poll said under communism. That many of them just got tired of living the lie of communism because it was all one big interconnected piece of garbage. And they knew it, but they constantly lived the lie. For us, it's important for us to live the truth. And we see how to live the truth in the reaction of the others today. First, we have the two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Jesus' aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas. They left that tomb running, fearful yet overjoyed. I want you to imagine for a second these women running, their long hair being blown backward as they're booking it. They have a little bit of fear there because they've never encountered anything like this. What happened? They weren't sure, but they were overjoyed precisely because they believed that Jesus' words had now been fulfilled. They weren't 100% certain, but they were believing it, and they couldn't wait. When was the last time you ran? Now, there might be a lot of sort of stale body parts in this day that we are looking at these marathon runners running 26.2 miles and all the other stuff. It's just like, I might have been able to do that one day, we say to ourselves, but not today. You know, they're doing 5-minute miles over the course of 2, 3, 4 hours. When was the last time we ran? Would we run to bring the good news of Jesus' resurrection? Do we feel a real urgency to take that greatest news ever to others? And they were running. Their hair was blowing back. And all of a sudden, they're stopped in their tracks when Jesus greets them. Their response tells us a lot about our second response to the gospel. The first is to run, to be overjoyed. We'll say later in the preface, overcome with paschal joy. This is one of the responses that should happen naturally for us. Might even be worth driving 66 miles on the highway to tell somebody. Second response, when they see Jesus, what did they do? They approached Him. They embraced His feet. And they did Him homage. Now tomorrow in St. John's account, today St. Matthew says that when Mary Magdalene met Jesus, which was probably a scene a little bit before, but it could have been the same scene. When she was trying to grasp onto Jesus' feet, Jesus said, "Don't touch me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father." Here it says that they embraced His feet. We can harmonize both accounts. That they embraced His feet, but Jesus would have said to Mary Magdalene, "Don't hold on to me so much, because I've got a mission for you. And I've got a mission too. I'm ascending to my Father. Don't just try to build the booth on Mount Tabor and just keep me here in the garden. This is supposed to impact us in a way. We've both got a mission to carry." And then it's essentially the same command. "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they'll see me." They were given a mission to spread this news. And Jesus was going to have the disciples likewise move to go to Galilee, to get out of Jerusalem for a little bit. He didn't want them just locked up in the upper room, fearful. He wanted them to take the news out. In the same way that He doesn't want us locked in our churches, He wants us to take the news out. He sends us on a mission. If we've grasped the meaning of Easter, then that mission is going to be the most natural thing we can do to spread that great news. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Clopas, didn't say, "Oh, no, 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 Jesus, I'm not a good runner. I'm not the right person for this message. Surely you can find somebody else. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't make any excuses. Jesus told them. And then off they went. What does Jesus say to us? Go to the whole world. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. Proclaim the gospel to your pet cat. Proclaim the gospel to your neighbor. Proclaim the gospel to your family members. Now, this doesn't mean we just overwhelm people with a waterfall of verbiage. But it does mean that the resurrection has impacted us. That we're sharing in Jesus' risen life. That we're overflowing with the joy that comes from this unbelievable victory, which is a triumph over sin and death. A triumph over the bad guys of every age. Triumph over the devil. This false account of the resurrection that we account here, that the disciples of Jesus stole the body while the guards were asleep, is just one of the many attempts over the course of the centuries to try to explain away the resurrection. Some people say Jesus was in so much pain after the scourging that he just collapsed there, but he resuscitated in the tomb. And that it was just his whole life. Yeah, exactly, right. Others said that all of the apostles, all of the disciples were hallucinating at the same time. But it's kind of strange. When you're hallucinating, you'd see Jesus Christ and Isidore over here. Right? Got a beard, got a head. It's not that we see Jesus Christ and we think he's a gardener. Hallucination happens in exactly the wrong direction. They keep coming it up. They keep coming up with false explanations. But St. Thomas Aquinas, in my opinion, gave one of the most important sentences in the history of theology when he said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the fact that a whole bunch of barely literate fishermen, tax collectors and nobodies from Galilee would be able to convince the ancient world that this Nazarene carpenter had in fact done something that is naturally impossible and been willing altogether without anybody ever resisting to lay down their lives for what they were claiming to preach. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then the fact that the world is Christian would be a greater miracle than the resurrection itself. It would make no sense unless it were all true. And that was because people in seeing the members of the early church saw people who were redeemed. They saw people who lived with the joy of the resurrection. People who were unafraid. That if they did that to Jesus and Jesus rose from the dead, bring it on, baby! Are you going to intimidate me now if God can raise his son from crucifixion? And all you're going to do is give false accusations? All you're going to do is threaten me? I'm not afraid anymore. And they were able to go out with Jesus' own power. Again, if God could raise his son from the dead, what couldn't he do? He could certainly heal people, like we see so often in the Acts of the Apostles. We also see that same fire in St. Peter, in today's first reading, preaching that they had crucified the Lord, but God raised him from the dead. Of this, he says, we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses of that resurrection. St. Anselm, whom the church celebrates today, is one who 905 years ago was brought to heaven on this day because he had spent his life as a Benedictine monk, as an abbot, as the Archbishop of Canterbury, preaching that Jesus had risen from the dead, the same God who loved us so much that he took on our own humanity to redeem it all and raise it up on the last day. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we ask the Lord for the grace to be able to fall down in front of him in homage and not just grasp on to his body, but allow his body within us to go from our head down to our feet. And we ask him to bless our feet so that today we might run out and share the greatest news ever. Praise be Jesus Christ.